Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrne, a potpourri podcast by me, veterinary ethologist Myrne Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. I have a worm hotel in my basement that houses the worms that eat approximately 90% of my garbage. After they eat my garbage, they produce droppings called castings that are extremely fertile that I then dig into my garden and use in my house plants. Because they help me in this way, I have a kind of soft spot for worms. And because of that, I paid particular attention to an article in the October Discover magazine entitled RNA Revolution by Gary Taubes. RNA, per se, is something that is so mysterious to me, I normally wouldn't have paid attention to the article, except a primary player in it was a tiny 559-cell transparent worm named Cenorhabditis elegans. C. elegans has been a favorite of geneticists because, in addition to being transparent, it's a hermaphrodite. And because it has so few cells, it's easy to see what effects mutations have on those cells. All scientists have to do is add a little bit of a substance known to cause mutations or irradiate the worms and then wait to see what happens and then figure out what was affected. Back in the days when these studies started, there was a certain dogma in place. DNA contains the genes that produce protein, and RNA functions sort of like a slave to the DNA commands. This dogma remained in place, even when mapping of human DNA revealed that only 2% of the DNA was composed of genes. The dogma was so deeply entrenched that the remaining 98% of the DNA was dismissed as junk, and nobody ever questioned it. That is, nobody ever questioned it until two researchers, husband and wife team, Victor Ambrose and Candy Lee, started looking at a specific mutation of C. elegans that was known as the bag of worms. When it occurs, the worm keeps producing larvae, but cannot expel them. The worm keeps producing more and more larvae, and they keep growing until a point is reached that the larvae literally eat the adult from the inside out and free themselves that way. Ambrose decided he wanted to know what gene was involved in this and came to the conclusion that the gene was actually on a tiny fragment of RNA, which became known as microRNA. First he found the bag of worms gene, and then he found another gene that undid the damage, which he thought was really cool, because this just changed everything. Intuitively, he felt it was right because it was so pretty. Now, in spite of the fact that this turned everything we knew, or thought we knew, about DNA on its head, the response of the scientific community was ho-hum. Because that dogma was so deeply entrenched at that time. They said, well, we'll believe you if we see it in some other species. And that's the way it always is, isn't it? When something agrees with our beliefs, it takes so little for us to accept it. But when it challenges our beliefs, we want more and more evidence to prove that it's true. So we add more hoops to be jumped through. But the team stuck with it. Because they knew. They knew that they were on the right track, that they had found something truly important because it was so pretty, so elegant. And so they stuck with it, and sure enough, they got their information out there, and reports started coming in of genes on microRNA in multiple species. And now the field has so opened up that not only is this phenomena being found in multiple species, but also associated with all kinds of diseases, including diabetes, Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's, heart disease, multiple forms of cancer. So much evidence is being found that the feeling is that it's microRNA, not DNA, that holds the keys to understanding many things we thought we'd never understand, or things we thought we understood completely, and now are only beginning to realize that we didn't understand at all. Says thanks to that oh-so-elegant little worm and a couple who wouldn't bow to conventional wisdom, that junk is now considered one of the most exciting breakthroughs in the biological sciences since Watson and Crick first discovered the double helix in 1958. So let's hear it for little worms. All those little elegant worms, whose names we can hardly pronounce or whose names we forget as soon as we pronounce them. And let us not forget that some of what might be outside the conventional wisdom in the behavioral sciences, or considered as junk now, may at some time in the future yield equally spectacular results.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.